Spirits and energy. We talk a lot about that on the program. And in a moment, a special guest joins us, Pamela Aloya. And her latest work is called The Daily Cloak. I'll tell you all about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you a little bit about our special guest. Pamela Aloya is an energy healer, author. The book is called The Daily Cloak. She has focused the last 20 years on individual and collective energy healing. Now, back in 2003, she started Soul Angel, an energy center, and continues to provide insight and instructions for people to expand their consciousness, encourage and self-support discovery, and create enhanced life experiences. She is attuned to a variety of energetic healing techniques, has experience in hospice, bereavement, certified as a grief coach as well, a lifelong martial arts practitioner, and a 25-year veteran in the corporate world. Pamela, what a background you have.
Yes, thank you.
Good to have you with us. How did you get involved in becoming involved in martial arts?
Martial arts has been a part of my life since I was little. My father actually started martial arts when he was maybe, I guess, in his 30s, and I remember being very jealous because I was too young to start, but my two older siblings were able to start before I was, so I had to wait till I was a certain age. But then I loved it. So I took martial arts since I was a little child. I probably took a little bit of a break in high school and college and then got right back into it after I graduated college.
I want to talk about your book, The Daily Cloak, in a moment, but let's talk about your work as a certified grief coach. Exactly what is that? What do you do?
So a grief coach, I guess the best way to say that is a grief coach is someone who will walk a person through grief. And that means helping them understand the grief process because not everyone understands the grief process.
Right.
And it is different for everyone.
And grief could be a relationship. It could be losing a job. It could be losing a loved one who died. It could be any of those things, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can even say that we're all going through some sort of grief right now. I mean, we've lost the way we used to live. You know, some of us have lost financial security, loss of a future vision, you know, hopes and dreams that they feel might not be there. Just because of all the economic and issues that we're having with COVID and associated factors.
A month ago here in the Beverly Hills area in Los Angeles, a guy, I will not mention his name, multi-billionaire, Pamela, multi-billionaire, jumped off the building of his apartment in Beverly Hills because he was despondent over the lack of relationships because of the COVID. I mean, is it that devastating for people where they kill themselves? They're that depressed?
Humanity is based on connection. And when you take that connection away, some folks don't realize how important that is until you do take it away. So, yes, it is important.
I mean, I know that we need people. I mean, I go back and forth between L.A. and St. Louis. And in the back in March, everything was shut down here. Everything was shut down there. And the highlight of my day was going to the grocery store and actually walking around, seeing people and doing what you do in a grocery store. I mean, that was my moment before the program started at night. Mm-hmm. And it was strange. It was the weirdest time I think I've ever gone through.
Yeah, that's not uncommon. I know a lot of folks who have been forced to work from home and not go into the office, and it's very difficult for them to not have that interaction with people. So the most important thing, I think, throughout all this is making sure you have some sort of support group for single people to make sure they have somebody to check in on them or you check in on somebody. And, you know, lots of people are doing those Zoom meetings where it's a social gathering, whether it's a happy hour during the week or just some sort of check-in. It's so important.
Robin Williams, God rest his soul, before he took his life, they say was suffering from Lewy disease, L-E-W-Y, which was an affliction of the brain. And he must have been tormented to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would you have talked to somebody like that if they came to you as a grief coach?
One of the most important things to remember when we're dealing with people going through anything, I mean, whether it's grief, whether it's death, whether it's job loss, is to meet them where they are. Try to let them kind of lead the conversation, what's going on in their mind, what are the emotions they're going through, and creating a safe enough space so that somebody feels comfortable enough to do so, and then support them on their path, whatever that is.
Have you ever had a client where you realized this is really, really severe and, you know, you needed some outside help and assistance?
Yes, absolutely. So there are times where I've had to call in or recommend someone to a therapist for psychological assistance or medication, and that's just part of the normal process for some people.
How much are the issues because they were raised poorly as children? Is that a major factor?
It really depends on the person. That is a major factor. However, certain folks have different ways to get around that. If they've had support throughout their lives, whether it's a teacher or another relative or friends, they were able to kind of escape that piece. A lot of folks I see actually are going to therapy as well as doing the energy work, and it's amazing how well they know themselves. So the sooner you can get some sort of assistance, whether it's through friends or the professional route, I find the easier it is for folks to deal with what they're dealing with. It goes back to that community and needing people.
What causes depression most of the time, Pamela? Is it medical, biological, something in the brain? What does it?
Yeah, I believe it varies. I mean, there are folks who come and they have been depressed their entire lives. Other people, they reach a certain point in their life and nothing seems to fulfill them anymore. So sometimes in that aspect, it might be they haven't found what their purpose is or what their joy is. So I think it varies.
Yeah, it does. Now, your new book is called The Daily Cloak, and one of our past guests wrote a little synopsis on the back cover, Carol Bowman, mm-hmm. who is an expert on children's past lives.
He is.
This is the quickest read I have ever had in a book. It's 46 pages. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I purposely made it short because I wanted to get the information out to people quickly, especially everything that's been going on this year, for people to understand the importance of the energetic clearing and protection of everything that's been going on. And I also wanted it to be quick for people to pick up. It's very easy for people to read through, like you just said, and it's the steps in the back of the book, I think, are very short and concise, so it's easy for people to incorporate.
Subtitle is called A Spiritual Guide to Energetic Clearing and Protecting. What is that, energetic clearing and protecting? What are we protecting?
We're all energetic beings, and because we're all energetic beings, we are affected by energy. Energy comes from the electromagnetic waves. It comes from sound pollution. It comes from our thoughts. It comes from other people's thoughts and emotions. And we're getting bombarded with this every day. Even though we may not see these waves coming at us, we're being bombarded with it. So not only do we need to sift through and filter through all the energy that's being sent to us, we also need to sift through and filter through our own energy. So that's where this book comes in and helps us differentiate between the two and then provide techniques on how to address both.
When you deal with energy clearing and protecting, are we also talking about protecting from outside sources, evil spirits?
Yes, that is included.
How do you fight that? How does somebody fight off an evil spirit?
Fight is a tough word. So the purpose of energetic clearing and protecting is to help bring us into a specific potential mindset, but also the ability to create a space for ourselves so that we can be clear and make heartful decisions. Based on that, so to fully answer your question, setting up protection is an intent to maintain the purity of our space. There are a number of factors that kind of fall into play. So if we have fear or if we have doubt, sometimes that's going to affect the strength of our protection. So So things like prayers, things like using light and color, sound and music, going out in nature can all help fortify our protection energetically.
Have you been using these techniques for yourself over your life?
For years, yes, for years. And I can say, if I forget, I know that I can feel the difference, definitely feel a difference. But I usually don't walk outside my door. Usually don't get out of bed without putting up some sort of clearing, some sort of protection and clearing.
Is the daily cloak, is it like a force field around you?
The cloak has some symbolism to it. So the cloak is a spiritual representation of creating a safe space for our inner transformation. And at the same time, while we're going through that inner transformation, we have that cloak that does protect us along the way.
Pamela, give us an example of someone who would use this technique or series of techniques to help themselves, to cloak themselves. Just kind of take us through a scenario.
Sure. Very first thing to do is to center. And the first way we can get centered is to breathe. It can be one breath, it can be three breaths, it can be whatever. And then, so let's say you're going out to the grocery store.
Okay.
And you're potentially a little nervous about going out and seeing people and potentially getting COVID. Before you step out the door, you may want to visualize or intend or pray that a bubble of light be put around you. It can be clear, it can be any color, and that bubble of light can be multiplied. You can put three, you can put as many as you want, and you can put that around as you go into your car, if you're walking or if you're riding a bike, you can do the same thing, put it around the vehicle that you're taking, and have that around you the entire time that you're going shopping. And then when you come in, walk through the door, you can bring those down. You can take those bubbles of light around you off.
What is it about these so-called bubbles of light that we put around ourselves? Where's it coming from? Is it coming from us, or are we tapping into some source out there in the universe?
I believe we're tapping into some source. Now, we visualize it or pray, we come up with words, and those words and visualization is coming from our intention. I believe our intentions come from our heart. So if we are sending out healing, protection for ourselves and others, or however we choose to use this, it's coming from a heartful place. And anything we do, again, I believe, coming from the heart, is tapping into a higher source as well, helping to fuel that.
Now, with these techniques that you put around you, does it make yourself a little more healthier? I mean, can you avoid COVID, for example? I mean, is it like walking around with a hazmat suit on?
I do believe that, again, it kind of creates a mindset and a state of being for us to be in a different space where fear, anger, and anxiety don't exist. I have seen a link between energetic health and physical health. In fact, my story is that I found energy work because I was dealing with a number of health issues. And after employing energy work, about 75% of my issues were alleviated. I do think that there is a link between physical health and energetic health. However, I'm not a medical doctor, but in my experience, if we do energy work for folks who are in physical discomfort, it can alleviate some symptoms.
Pamela, that's incredible. 75%?
Yeah, yes, yes. And once that happened for me, once I realized the impact it had on me, I knew I had to learn more about it and share it with as many people as I possibly could.
How soon does it start working?
I would say for the majority of people, if you come in for a session and you leave, there is a difference. Everyone feels a difference once they leave. So the moment you come in and you're bringing in some sort of energy with you, we go through an energy session, you leave, and you always feel a little different. Some people will feel rejuvenated. Some people feel more relaxed, less anxious. Some people feel less physical symptoms. So I believe it has an immediate effect. Now, it's the lasting effects that we need to work on. So if we've had an issue for, you know, years and years, it might take several sessions for
sure.
Us to maintain that clarity or that feeling that you get after a session.
If you miss a day, will that affect it?
So energy, if we're talking about energy clearing and protecting, yes, it will affect it. Again, if you're doing it regularly, if you miss a day or two, it's not going to be the end of the world. But I do recommend that we do, that we as a group of people do energetic clearing and protecting on a regular basis. It keeps us clear. It keeps us emotionally stable. And, you know, since we are energetic beings and what we do affect other people, there's a ripple effect. It can also help people outside of us indirectly.
Can these techniques fight off evil? Evil spirits and things like that?
I believe so. Yes, it depends on the person, too. It depends on what we're healing or what we're warding off. Again, it may take some time for the energy to build. And evil, that's such a strong word. There have been times where I've gone into houses where I've been asked to clear a house because there's some spirits in there. And that has always been incredibly interesting and fascinating.
So you'll do that too, though?
Yes, yes. Because there are some spirits who are not very nice, and there are other spirits who are okay, and some people are okay with living with spirits who are friendly. But our space is our space. We have the control and we have the power to make sure that nothing that we don't want to come into our space. So if we don't want something in our space, we can tell it to leave.
Is it almost like having a poltergeist in your house and you cleanse the house?
It is. Well, yeah, I guess poltergeist is, again, a strong thing for the movie. But there are spirits who are either drawn to our light or drawn to our energy, and they feel comfortable there. I had a woman one time, she wanted me to clear her house, and there was a spirit visiting her, and it didn't feel like it was a very good intention. He would come when she was sleeping and sit on her bed. It was very, very unnerving. So
I bet.
We spent the time clearing every single room in the house, the property, you name it. And then the being just never came back. So once you instate that, I would highly, highly recommend continuing some maintenance of clearing, especially if you've been through an experience like that with your home. But yes, it can be very, very effective.
How important, Pamela, is it to be positive during all this, as opposed to someone who, I don't think it's going to work, or somebody negative?
I've had success in both situations. So even folks who don't believe, it can still be effective for them. I will say that positivity does have a good effect on it, because it is energy. You know, we need to be responsible for the energy that we're bringing to a situation to then garner the results that we want to get from it. So if we're responsible in bringing something positive, then that's just going to amp up the practice a little bit.
I mean, we're all human. We're subject to ups and downs in life. And, you know, nobody can be upbeat all the time. But I would guess your message is to try to be as upbeat as you can as often as you can.
Well, that is true. At the same time, you're right. We are human, and we do have a myriad of emotions that we need to address. We're not saying to kind of push those emotions down and not deal with them, because that causes issues too. The better perspective you have, and I do find that when folks work with the energetic protection and clearing, that the mental outlook seems to increase, their anxiety levels decrease, their anger levels decrease. So it's a culmination over a period of time, and we don't expect it to happen, you know, especially if you've had that mindset of, you know, doubting your entire life. It may take some time for it to really sink in.
All right, Pamela, when we come back, give us a few more examples of patients that you've had. No names need to be given, of course, and tell us how this worked for them. We'll take calls with you next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Pamela Aloya with us. Her book is called The Daily Cloak. Her website is her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Pamela, what do you think of prayer? It works, I'm sure, but what do you think of it?
Prayer is awesome. I mean, anything that we put our spoken word to, I think sometimes we don't always give power to the words that we use, even in regular conversation. So prayer is very powerful not only, you know, singly, but also in groups. So I use prayer all the time for my own clearing and my own protection.
Being religious, are you?
I use the term spiritual. I'm spiritual. I grew up a Catholic, which I think brought in a deeper spirituality as I grew older. But spirituality, I think, is a little different than religious to me.
When one prays, who are they praying to? Not that
Again,
it's a trick question.
That is a personal perception.
Uh-huh.
We all believe, not all, but folks who pray, at least I find, most folks believe that there is a higher power out there.
Sure.
Who is watching us. And some folks pray to a god, some folks pray to angels, some folks pray to past loved ones.
Do they sometimes also pray to themselves? Maybe it's their own ability that gets this stuff done.
That is true.
I happen to believe there's a higher power out there, but you never know, right?
I think people have different experiences, and some experiences really lead people to believe there is a higher power. But at the same time, you bring a good point. A lot of people, you know, feel that that higher power could be just us making use of all our full faculties.
And you do devote a section to angels. Tell me about that.
I have always had an affinity with angels, and more recently I feel that I have gotten a better connection and relationship with not only my own guardian angels, but other angels who are out there, you know, like Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, to help with healing and protection on an ongoing basis. I feel that angels are with us consistently. We can call upon them to help with anything. I use them quite often to around the perimeter of a room if I'm feeling that it needs a little more protection. I'll put it around my property, somebody else's home, or a building that might need it. I think angels have tremendous energy and can help us out in any way, shape, or form.
This is interesting. You talk about Archangel Gabriel. That was my father's name. And once he got tuned into what I was doing in broadcasting, he was my biggest champion. And you say the Archangel Gabriel is there for communication. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's you're in tune with that.
Saved by my dad, who's an angel, no doubt. Tell me about animal totems. What is that?
Animal totems serve similar to angels, but they bring us a better connection to Earth. So the way I use animal totems, and you know, we can use them however we want. There's no right or wrong way to do that, which I think is wonderful about all of this energy work. We can experiment and, you know, find out what works best for us. But animal totems, I find, are incredibly helpful. I believe we have anywhere from 1 to 5 animal totems that hang out with us throughout our lives. And then we can use animal totems to help us out with different situations. So we're talking about communication. There are lots of animals out there who are helpful with communication, like the seagull, different birds. We have folks who might need to slow down because they're rushing in such a chaotic world, and the turtle is a great totem to bring in for that. So when we say bring it in, we mean just think about the energy that animal brings. What is their habitat? What characteristics do they have that you can draw upon and bring into your life?
Absolutely. And we're talking with Pamela Aloya about her incredible work. It's called The Daily Cloak. And we're talking about some of the methods used to help cloak you. You mentioned sound and music. This I find fascinating. How does that work?
There are lots of people out there who, I mean, we all respond to music on some level. We have all had or relied on music to take us from one emotion to a next, or sometimes on purpose and sometimes by accident. I find that music can be very helpful with clearing. If we're going through a certain emotion and we want to get to another one, we can use music that way. Playing an instrument can be helpful. Drumming is extraordinarily helpful. Playing different chimes or any instrument in general.
Or singing, right?
Yeah, precisely. Yes, singing is wonderful. The energy that we emote with music, just the energy. And if we add intention to that, it can be incredibly powerful.
Do these folks, your patients, come to you directly, or does somebody refer them to you because they care about that person?
It's a little bit of both. So I have folks come find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and my website, and most people, I will say, come through referrals.
What has been for you, Pamela, one of the worst cases you've seen, and then the end result?
So I will take one instance in hospice. When I was volunteering for hospice, there was a woman who was very agitated. She was not able to speak, and she was not happy with visitors, very angry. She would spit when you came. You couldn't get too close to her.
How old was she?
I think she was 84.
Okay.
And I remember going there every week and sending her Reiki. Reiki, I think you're familiar with Reiki.
Oh, yeah, sure. But she put up with you?
From a distance, yes, from a distance.
Right.
I couldn't stand right next to her. But the best part, I'm going to say the best part was, I remember driving home one day from that, and I received a call from the hospice nurse asking if I had just been there to see her. And I said yes. And she says, well, can you please let me know the next time you're going? Because she is a lot more calm. I'm able to bathe her without a fight.
Wow.
He found that it was just much easier to deal with her.
It worked.
That to me was fascinating, because sometimes you just don't know, you know?
Has there ever been a case where you were scared? The person actually scared you?
Not the person themselves. I was in a situation once where this was early on when I first started doing energy work for other folks. I had a woman on the table, and I felt or saw this dark being enter the room. And I wasn't afraid at first, but everything about it said I should be afraid. So I sat there for a few minutes, and I asked the being to leave, and they did, very respectfully, they did. When I checked in on it later on, and when I say checked in, I feel like I meditated and got some clarity on it. To me, it felt like it was somebody who had passed on that was a friend of the woman who I was working with, and they wanted to learn a little bit more about what was going on. So to me, that helped me understand that sometimes dark beings aren't harmful. They're just here because they want to learn more.
When you're doing this, are you taking at all any of the problems of the individual into yourself?
That's a very good question, and that's part of the clearing and protection part. So as energy healers and practitioners, that is very important for us to do. If we're doing it correctly, we should not be taking on any of the symptoms. We're just facilitating a space for their physical, emotional, mental symptoms to be alleviated.
Do you remember the movie The Green Mile?
I do.
And it's when John Coffey was trying to help people or heal people.
Mm-hmm.
After he had done it, it was as if he got sucked in with the energy that that person had, or whatever the issue was, came into him. And remember, he'd like open his mouth and all these things would fly out, insects or whatever these things were?
Yes.
Does that ever happen to you?
Not that I recall consciously. However, I can say that, especially dealing with family, it's easy for us to absorb somebody else's pain and somebody else's suffering so that they don't have to deal with it. I believe it is possible. It does happen. But to keep ourselves healthy, we need to make sure that we are clear and protected when we do so. And I'm reminded about, you know, dogs are great. Pets are great in general, but dogs are awesome because they pick up our energy too. And I always find it interesting. I've been to many people who have dogs who help out with energy sessions. And one way that they clear their energy is they go outside and they run around and they get rid of that energy. So animals know how to clear their energy just innately. I think we need to be reminded of how to do that.
Well, people bring support dogs on planes. They need it to calm down.
Right, right.
Tell me more about the column of light and the bubble of light. That fascinates me, that you need to engulf yourself in.
For personal protection, I love light. We're energetic beings, and color always affects us in some way. You know, there have been studies that color helps us out, or we respond differently to different colors, so we need to be aware of that. One of my go-to colors, though, is white, because it's purity and it clears anything in a moment's notice. I love the column of light because you can take that column to just above your head and just below your feet, or you can expand it all the way up into the center of the cosmos and the center of the earth and maintain that connection. I like it's similarly, the bubble and that column of light are very similar. It is simply creating like a force field like you would see in Star Wars or Star Trek to keep your energy clear and also to keep anything from entering in outside of you that doesn't belong to you.
How long have you been cloaking yourself now, Pam?
Regularly, I would say about 15 years.
15 years.
I've been doing energy work for about 20, and I think it took me a while to remember that I need to do this on a daily basis, not just when I'm working with people.
Have you ever missed a day and felt, oh my God, what, like you were missing something?
Yes, definitely. There's some times where I've left the house and I'm thinking, because you're rushing and you just don't remember, you're not thinking about it, and all of a sudden you start feeling off or, you know, off balance or emotional or something. Yes. So then I quickly remembered to do my clearing and protection in that moment.
And can you be any place to do this?
You can. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the good part.
Yeah, it is the good part. You can do it anywhere. And in fact, if you want to clear a space before you arrive there, so say you're going to a meeting that you might be a little nervous for, you can send yourself light. You can send everyone in the meeting light. And then... You can do that before you get there. I would actually recommend doing it before you get there because you have more time then to set an intention with it and be clear about it. And then usually, my experience has been once I do that, the meeting usually goes a little bit better than I expect it to.
We're going to take your calls next hour, which is not too far away with Pam, so get ready to make the call as you want a question or two, or also if you want to share a story that you might have gone through in this situation as well. It is remarkable how it works. I'm convinced it does. You obviously are too.
True.
Since this has been going on for you personally,
mm-hmm.
How has it changed you?
It has changed my perspective, I think, first and foremost. It's changed the way I understand myself, which then changes the way I relate and understand people. The human condition is quite similar across all of us, so once we have an understanding of who we are, why we do certain things, it makes it easier for us to understand other people and be less reactive, less anxious, and more uplifting. I mean, humanity needs to be uplifted on an ongoing basis. So,
have you ever had a client that you didn't want to, you know, work with?
Very few in between. I can't really think of any off the top of my head, no. I can't say that I have.
If you did, what would it take to walk away from somebody? I mean, what would they be doing where you didn't want anything to do with them?
What I usually try to do before I meet with someone is to talk with them on the phone, make sure we're a good fit, make sure that I understand what their potential goals are or what they're coming for. And if at that point in time we feel that it's not an appropriate fit or we don't think it's going to be a profitable, a beneficial meeting, then we could part ways if there's another avenue. There have been some folks who I said earlier, referenced earlier, recommended them to other therapists as opposed to energy work or in conjunction with, but I can't say I've turned anyone away as of yet.
What percent, Pamela, do you think are truly depressed about things that come to you?
I would say about 50 to 60% of folks.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is, and it's honestly, it's been increasing.
Because of COVID?
I would say because of a lot of things. The election years are always pretty heavy, to be honest.
Really? People get depressed during election years?
Yes.
Really?
Very anxious because they really want their candidate to win. and all of the issues and topics that come up around that. So that is usually a driving factor. Of course, you have your personal issues that are going on, work-related things, family-related things, but I do find election years can be quite charged.
Who gets more depressed, Donald Trump supporters or Joe Biden supporters?
It's both.
About 50-50?
Yeah.
Interesting take. I mean, are most people hopeful when your sessions are done? I mean, at what point do you say to yourself, you're done now, you don't have to come back anymore?
That is usually up to the individual I'm working with. We work together, and that is one thing I really try to make sure happens is that you have a voice in what we're working on, how frequent we do so, and based on your feedback, you know, what are you feeling? Do you feel that you need more time? Do you feel like you need more frequency? It really is a joint discussion, joint decision.
Super. Pamela, spell out your website for folks.
Sure. It's Pamela Aloia. It's PamelaAloia.com.
Super. We're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls, questions for Pamela, your own stories on maybe how you've used these techniques for your own daily good. Just share them with us. And like she said, her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com as well. We'll be back in a moment.